May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. Over the past several weeks, we have heard from members of our church family as they have shared with us about some of the ministries of Bethlehem United Church of Christ. Way back in August, Linda and Leanne told us about ways the church family had shown up for them during times of personal loss. Kelly used Patrick Swayze and the Muppets, yes, really, to demonstrate the importance of music in directing our worship. Will shared about the love, joy, and acceptance our young people find in our children and youth programs and offered himself as evidence of how Christian education can impact lives well into adulthood. Amy and Patty helped us see how integral our staff and property are to our ministries and how the background work is not just setting the stage for ministry, but is itself ministry. Finally today, Susan highlighted the wide variety of ways our generosity extends beyond our church doors. The crowdedness of the chancel this morning furthers her point. All these moments for mission have pointed to this truth. Every dollar given here at Bethlehem equals ministry. Every contribution is valued. Every contribution is needed. In the first letter to the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul uses what was actually a familiar first century metaphor to describe the church. Paul says the church is like the human body. Now, he was not the first to use the body as a way to think about how communities organize. In fact, Paul relies on the familiarity of the comparison to drive home the point he's trying to make about what makes the church unique. Elsewhere, other thinkers use the body as an image of hierarchy. Certain parts are more important than others, just as certain people are more important than others. The head would obviously be more important than, say, the pinky toe. But Paul inverts the metaphor in his letter to the Corinthians, perhaps surprising his readers. For Paul, the body is a singular whole, and every part is indispensable. You cannot say one part is more important than another because each performs a distinct function. So Paul warns those prone to low self-esteem, if the foot would say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. In other words, don't think your role isn't as integral as anyone else's. Paul also warns those prone toward pride. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. No body part is so important that it doesn't need the others. This body is marked by interdependence, and it depends on the diversity of its members to function. Even so, the body is unified in purpose, all parts working together for the good of the whole. And this arrangement is not random or accidental, but it's by design. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. Because of this interconnected unity, if one part of the body is hurt, the whole body is affected. Have you ever stubbed your pinky toe? Ever had something run over it? It's one of the body's smallest parts, but it will get your attention. There's no way it goes unnoticed by the rest of you. When the church is healthy, it responds to the stubbed toe just as it would a head wound. In fact, the healthy church might respond even more strongly to a stubbed toe than a head injury. Paul writes, on the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member. Paul's inversion of that popular body metaphor continues. It turns out that Paul's understanding does support a hierarchy of sorts. The weaker, more vulnerable members are to receive special attention, care, and consideration from the stronger, more secure members. Perhaps we need to invest in some steel-toed boots. Up here, among canned goods, buckets full of cleanup supplies, more than 20, I heard 21 and a half windows, members of our church sponsored for the United Caring Services, I think it's safe to say that Bethlehem United Church of Christ strives to pay special attention to those members of the body who are suffering. Friends, we are doing good, important, holy work here at Bethlehem. We are doing as John the Baptist called people to do. If you have two tunics, give one to he who has none. We are doing as Jesus called us to do. Treat the least of these as we would treat him. Be neighbor to all whom we meet. We are doing as Paul called us to do, giving joyfully out of the abundance that God has given us. Did you know that 15% of our church's budget goes toward benevolence? That's a tithe and a half of our annual budget. That money is sent outside the walls of this church to support ministries related to sheltering the unhoused, feeding the hungry, and caring for the refugee. It also goes to support education for future pastors and to support the wider church at the association, conference, and national levels. But that's not all. All of this is in excess of or outside of that 15% budgeted amount, as are the money that our children collect in their giving vortex, the roughly $2,800 raised by the fish fry, the $15,000 raised by the Habitat Ice Cream Social, the almost $4,500 we collected for those other four 5-for-5 offerings of the UCC, the $8,000 from the Voight Trust we will give away to various organizations this year, and the occasional designations from the endowment toward needs in our community. Then, of course, there's the Undie Sunday collection and the cake mix collection and other things I'm sure that I'm missing. But you need to know that all of those are above and beyond even what we've budgeted for benevolence. We are an incredibly generous congregation. What a blessing that we are in position to do all of this and more. Because we have enough, and more than enough, we can share with virtually every good cause that comes across our radar. But the reason that we are able to be so externally generous is because our at-home needs are met by your consistent giving throughout the year. If it weren't for your week in and week out support of the church budget, we would not be free to give as extravagantly as we do, and we would not be raising up generations of children who will know that Jesus calls us to this kind of generous living. Your weekly giving makes it possible for us to be a community marked by worship, fellowship, and generosity. Your weekly giving pays the staff, pays the utilities, keeps us in paper and toner, keeps the organ tuned, keeps the youth room stocked with snacks, and more essential functions. Your weekly and monthly and yearly gifts sustain this church. They both are ministry, and they set the stage for ministry. So I wonder, If we could reapply Paul's metaphor of the church being like a body to say that maybe our budget is too. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with the church's budget. If the money spent on paper towels would say, because I'm not spent on benevolence, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part. There are things that the church must spend money on that are not as exciting as what we see up here today. But the money spent on toilet paper for the bathrooms, or gasoline for the mower, or to pay the power bill matters too. They may seem like the smallest, most insignificant parts, but just as stubbing our toe can bring our whole bodies to a halt, so could the grass being knee-high or the power cut off. Every part is needed. Every gift is needed. Friends, thank you for all the ways you support the ministries of Bethlehem United Church of Christ, both those inside our walls and those beyond it. Everything you give matters and works together for the good of the whole and to support our mission to be obedient to the teachings of Jesus, and to send the good news out into the world through both word and deed. I now invite our ushers as well as our acolytes to come forward as we prepare to joyfully offer our tithes and offerings as well as our 2026 pledge cards.